Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to the next phase with Ice and Friends. Thursdays, 7 to 8:30 p.m. Central Standard Time, 5 to 6:30 p.m. Pacific Standard, and 8 to 9:30 p.m. Eastern Standard. I want to welcome you this evening. Today happens to be January 20th. And as always, we start the show off with our disclaimer. Any comments or opinions you hear on this show do not necessarily represent the views and or opinions of the host, sponsors, or Blog Talk Radio. And a little slight description of the show, please, if you don't mind. This show addresses community concerns in regard to designing ways members in the communities can increase their abilities to acquire more income for themselves. In addition to that, methods to address increasing political strength and impact will also be featured. Financial enhancement, increasing political strength and impact, improving possibilities for combining efforts with others who have similar interests, all these and more poignant concerns will be approached, hopefully in an entertaining format. There will be musical segments on occasion, interesting guests, as well as questions and comments from our listening audience, that be you. If you have an interest in improving situations for our youth, such as stemming incarceration estimates for minority members of this society, reassessing the significance of spiritual impact in our society, investigating the best possible means for boosting knowledge, for improving your health, as well as many pertinent topics too numerous to include right here. Please join us each week on the next phase with Ice and Friends. You can give us a call at 347-945-7040. And we keep checking the switchboard, and hopefully you'll give us a call in, and guarantee we'll try to get you on the show. And also, you can contact us by email. That's blakicz.1@gmail.com. blakicz.1@gmail.com. And we'd be glad to have any information, information that's relevant and pertinent to current contemporary events or historical events that may have a positive or potentially beneficial impact on us as a society, or any interesting things that you'd like to provide for us, we'd be more than happy to entertain. We encourage you to give us a call or contact us by Gmail. If you want us to schedule some guests, we'll do the best we can to get those guests that are a guest of interest that you may have a particular concern for, or you yourself, let us know. We'll try to get you on the show, no problem. Let me also say this. We highly recommend that you consult professionals in the fields we refer to on this show. The information you hear on this show is meant to be a catalyst to encourage individuals to research topics they find interesting. Also, I'd like to give another shout-out. I always try to do this weekly. Ms. Rabia Ahmed, hopefully she'll get a chance to join us with her organization, the organizer of SMART, SMART. Single Mothers Are Really Trying. That's a program in Swarthmore, Pennsylvania, designed to assist especially women and their families who have had difficulties in their lives. The program actually aids the women and their families in regaining their social and financial footing. And we appreciate such an energetic, enthusiastic, articulate, and determined, committed, and focused young lady as Sister Rabia. And we encourage her, and we encourage you to support her if you get a chance, and we'll give you a way to do that here in just a second. Sister Rabia does considerably more than just talk. You know, a lot of people talk about situations, and there are some people who put forth effort to change situations for the better. And I want to thank you for sharing with us, Sister Rabia Ahmed, always. The way to contact her is www.smar2change.org. www.smart2change.org. If you want to get more information on how you can contribute or assist her in her endeavors, we greatly appreciate you taking a look at that site, and it'll provide you with information necessary that you can make a connection, because there are always, she's just doing it there in Swarthmore, Pennsylvania, and as I say, I commend her for her efforts in trying to provide a support and assistance to individuals who've run into some difficulties. And you know, throughout each person's life, generally, there are some times when we need help. And I'm just very grateful that this lady has decided to commit herself to assist people who have run into problems. And after all, children, not fetuses, but real live children who need health care, who need food support, who need money for education, transportation, and different other things. Children, real live children. They benefit from our efforts, and I hope that we can commit ourselves to providing some support for Sister Rabia, SMART, the number 2, CHANGE.org. Also, I'd like to give a shout out to dear Sister India Declare, INDIADECLAIR, the India Declare Show. She's on Monday through Saturday and daily at 11 a.m. Central Standard Time. And you can go to the Blog Talk Radio search block and type in INDIADECLAIR, and it'll provide you with the information necessary to get you plugged into her program. It's a wonderful program. It's exciting. It's always uplifting, and it provides information and encouragement as well. She, I think, does topical stuff. She does recent current events, and she provides you with means and methods that you might get involved in different ways in from your community. You know, it's not any, you know, she's just a wonderful host, and I really appreciate having met her through my endeavors here on Blog Talk Radio. And also Sister Navazar, NAVAXOR1. She's on Sundays at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and that would be like 5 p.m. Central Standard Time. So look her up. Sister Navazar, NAVAXOR1, that's Sundays at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time right here on Blog Talk Radio. Sister Janice Graham, JANICEGRAHAM, and I think you can find her either by that or Our Common Ground. She's heard Saturdays at 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 9 p.m. Central Standard Time. And this week she had on the Scott Sisters from Mississippi, who had been incarcerated, and I got a chance to listen to them this past week, and Brother Alpha assists her, as well as Sister Morpessa. I got a chance to hear her, as well as the Scott sister. We wish them all the best, and hopefully they'll have a chance. One of the ladies, I can't remember which one, has had some medical difficulties as far as a kidney. I think she needs a kidney transplant. But if you get a chance, put in your favorite search engine, Scott Sisters, and I think that'll get you to them. Or you can go to Sister Janice Graham's site, Our Common Ground, and you can look up that archive show, and it'll give you a chance to hear what they had to say from their own mouths. And their sister, their mother, is a phenomenal individual. That was a wonderful program. Glad I got a chance to listen to it. I also like to give a shout out to Miss Quiet Storm. That's all one word, MSQUIETSTORM, Quiet Storm. And she's heard Saturday, 11 a.m. Central Standard Time, right here on Blog Talk Radio. You can look her up, MSQUIETSTORM. And her show is a wonderful show. I had a chance to listen to it a couple times or so. And I really enjoyed the experience that I had with it. And Brother Alpho is a very energetic brother, and he's politically oriented, as am I. And he provides you with different perspectives on the corporate media stories that you hear, and gives you a look at our perspective. I say our, and what I mean by that is those who. Honestly, and to my idea, have been to a degree disenfranchised or don't have an opportunity on a daily basis, hour after hour, to give you our perspective on different news and different other sources, different information. And I think that's essential, that we not have people speak for us. We can speak for ourselves very well. And that's Brother Alpha. He's on at 2 p.m. Central Daylight Time and 3 p.m. 2 p.m. and 3 p.m. Central Daylight Time on the Truth Network. That's ALFO, ALFO, Brother Alpha. Just put that in the Block Talk search block and you'll find him. Also like to give a shout out to Brother Jay Early, J-A-Y-E-A-R-L-E-Y, and you can look him up on Block Talk. Just put him in the search block on Block Talk Radio. And a new gentleman that I have got a chance to, I really appreciate him reaching out to me, and I hope I get a chance to catch a show. Brother Gary McCants, G-A-R-Y-M-C-C-A-N-T-S, Gary McCants, and he's a spiritual program. So give him a listen to Gary McCants. Put it in the blog talk search block, and it'll pull it right up for you. I'd like to give you a little bit of information as to what I'm trying to do with the show that I have, in addition to what I've already told you about. One of my goals for 2011 is to provide more opinions from the African ethnic perspective. You know, we here in the U.S. are of African descent, and we're a unique group of individuals. You know, we have a unique perspective that has in the past been discounted, and I think it's relevant. And as a matter of fact, you know, we're going to provide you that perspective, and you can counterbalance it however you choose to. And I hope that you'll find it interesting and informative. Because my opinion is that options for African ethnic origins have a tremendous opinions. I'm sorry, because my opinion is that opinions from African ethnic origins have a tremendous value and are absolutely necessary and fundamental to the public discourse. Some people would sarcastically retort, "Why?" Now, these people that would ask you why are the people that would shoot a person, unarmed people, especially women, who would smash a woman in the face or stomp a woman's head or just recently place a bomb on a parade route. They would ask you, why are you relevant? Why would your input be significant? So I don't like your input, so what I'll do is attempt to destroy you. And I won't do it man-to-man. What I'll do is I'll sneak around and use terrorist tactics. And then I'll be upheld by those who share my opinions and my perspectives. You know, some people would sarcastically retort, why is your input essential? Why is your input significant? And so, therefore, rather than entertain that, rather than intellectually engage you, I'll just shoot you in the back, or hit you. You know, I'll put a bomb on your parade route. You know, I'm that's how strong and powerful I am. You know, I can sneak up on you like a terrorist. You know, those kinds of people. Anyway, that's my perspective on them. My response is simply, what exactly is the alternative to our opinion? What is the alternative? Have you ever thought about it? What is the alternative to hearing our opinion? From people of the African origins, precisely as I suspected, there is no legitimate opposing view. The only defense is tradition or custom, either of which have been found to be totally devoid of substance. Another goal for 2011 is to continue to stay informed and abreast of information that is relevant to me, that's relevant to me spiritually, personally, ethnically, economically, professionally, nationally, politically, environmentally, etc. And, you know, so I hope that gives you a little insight as to what I'm trying to do with what I do here on the air. Let me tell you first, I'm not anti-anything. I'm pro-African-American. And I'm going to show you why. I'm going to give you an example of why I take the perspective that I do. There was an article today, or at least I heard about this information while I was at work today, and it was about a guy named Rick Santorum, or Santorum, Sanitarium, whatever. But anyway, this guy expressed an opinion or a perspective that is really revealing when you look at it from my vantage point. What he said was Obama's stance on abortion, quote, remarkable for a black man, unquote. This is, I found this in The Loop. The dateline is Thursday, 1/22/11, 6:17 p.m., Washington, former Pennsylvania. Now, this is Pennsylvania where the supposedly the middle class white voters are. You know, a voter is a voter. But if you want to be a white voter, go right ahead, be my guest, and be a white voter. Former Pennsylvania Senator Rick Santorum, who is also a potential Republican, can you believe? Yeah, I can see him representing the Republican Party. Republican presidential contender linked President Obama's race. But it's not race. We're all humans. So what he linked was his color. But they have President Obama's race to abortion in an interview Thursday with a Christian, pardon me, Christian Broadcasting Network, the Associated Press reports. Where else would you better have an opportunity to express your real feelings about people of African descent than on the Christian Broadcasting Network? Quote, the question is, and this is what Barack Obama didn't want to answer, is that human life, a person under the Constitution, huh? And Barack Obama says no. Santorum said, well, if that human life is not a person, then I find it almost remarkable for a black man to say, quote, we are going to decide who are people and who are not people, unquote. Let me give you my opinion. What is the difference in a black man's opinion of anything than anybody else's? I mean, what does this guy think, that he has the total right to his decision, and beside his decision there should be no other? There should be no other individual to offer their opinion? I believe in a woman's choice. I'm not pro-abortion. I'm pro-woman's choice. Let that woman make the decision. She and her medical professionals and her religious or spiritual professionals, that's not my business, is my opinion. But, you know, I listen to this guy. The question is, this is a quote again, and this is what Barack Obama didn't want to answer, is that human life a person under the Constitution? And Barack Obama says no, quote. Santorum said, quote again, well, if that human life is not a person, comma, then, comma, I find it most remarkable for a black man to say. What's the implication? Most remarkable for, and you can give me a call if you want to discuss that. Make it, clarify it for me, 347-945-7040. 347-945-7040. We are going to decide who are people and who are not people. Santorum later explained his comment in a statement. For decades, certain human beings were wrongly treated as property and denied liberty in America because they were not considered is a key word here, persons under the Constitution, he said, unquote. He said today, quote, today other human beings, the unborn of all races, no, he doesn't mean all races because there's only one race on this earth that I know of, and that's the human race. But anyway, the unborn of all races are also wrongly treated as property and denied the right to life for the same reason, because they are not considered persons under the Constitution. I am disappointed that President Obama, who rightfully fights for civil rights, refuses to recognize the civil rights of the unborn in this country. Now, you know, what is this deal about fights for civil? Everybody fights for civil rights. Who in this country that is a citizen of these United States, doesn't deserve civil rights? I mean, where does this guy get off at? You know, like you know, civil rights is an issue for only, quote unquote, black people. Which one of his civil rights would he not like to have? So then he says that, you know, I could get into this real deep, but I'm not going to. You know, he suggests that a kid who's homeless and who needs health care, you know, who he will not help. This is just really, really too weird. But what was important to me and significant to me is that he would suggest that President Obama should so he looks at people from the Republican perspective in terms of being black race or white race. This is what was so amazing to me. Why would you even do that? Why not just debate his position rather than to include, and he says, considered persons. When you say that, do you not understand that all men are created equal with certain inalienable rights? I mean, is that too difficult to grasp as if? Oh, and he says, but for decades, certain human beings were wrongly treated as property. How can you treat a human being as property just arbitrarily? You decide, you make a unilateral decision, this is property, and denied liberty in America because they were considered. What the heck does consideration have to do when you have it clearly defined in the preamble to the Constitution that all men are created equal? This is what I don't understand about the leadership of the Republican Party. Nationally, a Washington Post poll out Thursday shows only 1% of Republican respondents would vote for Santorum in the primary. So I guess that's supposed to rectify that situation. Maybe so, maybe no, I'm not real sure, but that's my perspective, and someday hopefully we'll get a chance to address more in depth some of the positions that I have in regard to that particular issue. My issue is that, and I want to say happy birthday to Dr. Martin Luther King, and hopefully in weeks to come, I'll get a chance to play his speech, some of his speeches. But Dr. King, 5 foot, 9 inches, 165 pounds, who was shot from a scoped rifle, just happened to be a black man. Oh, my God. Black men with opinions? Oh, isn't that freaky? That's scary. That makes you want to put a bomb on a parade route, where that you could kill really born fetuses, really live children and women and innocent individuals, grandmothers, who knows who that bomb that was set beside that parade route could have injured or killed, like the lady that's recovering now from being shot with a weapon because she was Gabrielle Giffords, I believe, that's recovering. Because she was shot because someone disagreed with her political position. You know, to me, there is no mention of those who lost their lives. And one of the more important ones to me who lost her life, and I'll never, honestly, I don't think I'll ever forget this young lady, that 9-year-old young lady, Christine. You know, it really disturbs me that that these guys have such a but anyway, maybe they say that Rick Santorum would only get 1%. Maybe that's the issue that I should be concerned with, that he doesn't necessarily represent each and every individual on the Republican side of politics. But let me look. I looked at my chat room. Yes, Al, folks, give me a call, man. That's the right number right there, 347-945-7040. Brother Alpha, thank you, sir. Chatologist, please give me a call, 347-945-7040. Feel free to give us a call right here on Blog Talk Radio, right here on the the next phase with Ice and Friends. And thank you, Chatologist and Brother Alpha, for being in the chat room. And we have about 65 minutes an hour and 5 minutes right now, 7:24 in Texas where I am. How are you where you are? It's kind of cool outside my way. How is it where you are? We don't have any snow, haven't had any moisture for a long time. But nevertheless, we continue to persevere. Anyway, let me look at another story, too. I'm waiting on my calls because Brother Alpha and Sister Chatologist, I really appreciate you being here. And Chatologist is, she and I, we have our run-ins, but I have a tremendous amount of respect and appreciation for her opinion. She may not know it, and I want to apologize to her publicly for my display the other night, but I got really intense in a discussion that we were having in her chat room online, and I will publicly make this apology and let you know that I think you're one of the most wonderful individuals that I've ever met. Well, she's from the Caribbean, and her perspective is tremendously enlightening, and I just can't help but appreciate it. And Brother Alpha always brings some, put some fire in the wire when he decides to give a call. So we'll be looking forward to hearing from you guys if you choose to give us a call. Right now I'm going to look at some of the events that I had. That last story was from the Luke 21. Now I'm looking at Think Progress. And one of the headlines is Boehner on what spending cuts the House GOP plans to enact. You're asking me? Another one, Florida bill would make it a felony for doctors to ask patients about gun ownership. I'm not sure about that one. Flashback. Bush administration officials praise Tunisia under dictator as a democracy. Making progress. That's the dictator, I think, that they just ran out of Tunisia. And police seized a large amount of weapons from a blogger who praised Giffords' shooting. One down and 534 to go. Can you imagine these guys? I mean, this is really strange. Republican Study Committee budget plan doesn't include single cut to defense, despite Tea Party demands. And Christie attacked by right-wing bloggers for appointing Muslim judge. He's in bed with the enemy. Oh, man. There's some wonderful stories in here. A group requests DOJ to investigate Scalia and Thomas involved with Coke corporate fundraiser. Might take a look at that one tonight. And Brewer backs down on the transplant funding, but now wants to kick 250,000 people off Medicaid. Can you imagine that? That's Christine Brewer out in Arizona. Let me see. What else? There are some more stories that we have. I'll check right back in the chat room just for a second. And there. Okay. Brother Alpha, tonight, Brother Alpha said it's a minus 5, wind chill, a minus 20. Can you believe it? In Chicago, Illinois. Oh, no way could I live there, brother. No way. Couldn't handle it. Too tough for me. You're a tough brother, I tell you that. Couldn't handle that at all. But anyway, we'll keep looking at some of these stories. Dr. Laura, she's coming back. And Dr. Boyce Watkins had something to say about her. Dr. Laura's coming back. She's coming back. Do you remember Dr. Laura? She kind of went off the deep end here the other day. A while back, talking about a few things that I thought were kind of wild and wicked. But anyway, we'll take a look at some of these news stories. We'll be right back after a brief intermission, and you stay right there. I think you'll enjoy what we have coming up. Also want to say in the coming weeks, we'll have a wonderful lady who has she's an entrepreneur, and she has a program that will enhance you, your health, as well as your aesthetic appeal. And hopefully, I'm looking forward to having her on in next week, hopefully. But anyway, we'll be right back right after this.
I'm going to make a change for once in my life. It's going to feel real good. Going to make a difference. Gonna make it right. As I turn up the collar on my favorite winter coat, this wind is blowing my mind. I see the kids in the street, but not enough to eat. Who am I to be blind, pretending not to see them eat? I saw us disregard
To the next phase with Ice and Friends, 7 to 8:30 p.m. right here Thursdays on Blog Talk Radio. Right now it's 7:34:26 before 8 p.m. 41 degrees, mostly clear skies out here in West Texas. And I believe this is Brother Alpha. Is that you, Brother Alpha? 901 area code. Hello, can you hear me? 901 area code. He may be away from the.
Yeah, it's me.
All right, I was going to give you a chance, brother, to come in. How you doing? How's it going?
Who
is this? Oh, is this meeting one?
Yeah.
All right, I thought that was, hey, I got another brother over there too, Brother Alpha. I thought that was him that had called in. How you doing, meeting one? Can you hear me?
Wait a minute now.
Turn your computer off, down. Your speaker's down on your computer.
Oh, okay. I knew it was something wrong. Because I kept hearing myself. I kept hearing you twice. Yeah, I'm sorry about that.
No, that's no problem. How you doing, sir?
Oh, doing great this evening. I was over in chat with the chataholic and
chatologist.
Yeah, Chatologist, that's right. And she reminded me that you were on tonight.
All right.
So how's everything?
How you doing? I hope she comes back or either gives me a call, man. It would be great to have y'all on at the same time. Now, let me give a little brief introduction about you and what my opinion of what you do is, and then I'll let you explain more clearly for yourself. Is that okay?
Sounds good.
All right, this is brother. I don't know, what is it, Tennessee or Kentucky?
Tennessee.
Tennessee. All right, brother, a million and one, and we, you know, unless you choose to, you know, and I'm not talking to you, I'm just talking generally to the public. If you choose to give your particular name or however you want to identify, that's your thing. But I call you by how I know you. And how I met you was through chatting and everything like that, and that's cool with me, unless you want to change that. But brother, Million and One and I, we have pretty much some similar perspectives on a lot of issues politically, and you are more involved with formulating groups that have an impact. And I'll let you take it from there, if you don't mind.
Yeah, well, I'm involved with Organizing for America. That's Obama's. It's a successor organization. We used to be called Obama for America, and then when the president got elected, he changed the name to Organizing for America. And what we do is we just support his agenda and try to help him get things done. I think a lot of people don't realize that there are a lot of boots on the ground to get these things done, like health care reform. That just didn't happen. It was a lot of volunteers in the street doing the labor and the phone calls and the knocking on doors that made that possible. And I enjoy it, and that's what I do.
Right, and you know, I just heard today that President Obama, should I say, and I say that casually, not meaning to be disrespectful, but that he formally, I believe, engaged his campaign committee, and
yeah.
he's starting to open up his new campaign for 2012.
That's right.
Yeah, and you know. Right. You know, would you? You know, you and I, we've had conversations kind of intermittent about from time to time about, you know, how you and the group there does it, and how you guys have come together and overcome some of the difficulties with the social norms that had previously existed. You know, the divided people, and you guys have struck on a unique idea as to how we pool our political strength. Recognize, appreciate each other individually, and understand the power that we possess as a cohesive and synergistic group. And how do y'all do that? You know, with that organization and where you are, sir, if you don't mind.
Well, what we do, we follow the leader. You know, Obama sets the tone. You know, this organization, the fuel or the heart of this organization is telling the story. You know, a lot of people remember where they know Barack's story.
Mm-hmm.
He's a profound storyteller.
Right.
And what we've been told through the leadership of the organization is that the first thing you learn when you join Organizing for America, you learn how to tell your story. Because telling the story to other volunteers, it evokes emotion, and emotion mm-hmm. is what get people off the couch and get some to act and do something.
Right,
so that's
right.
That's the real engine to our organization. Is just stirring up that emotion, because without emotion, people won't do anything. And so we've learned that from Barack, and we just practice it, and we pass it on
right.
to other volunteers. They tell the story, they motivate people,
right.
and then they get involved. People get involved, and that's the key right there.
Right, exactly. You know, I understand that, and I appreciate it. It's KISS method, right?
That's right. Keep it simple. That's right. We all brought brought knowledge from other campaigns we worked in, and and a lot of us were involved with the civil rights movement, so we had an idea of how to do it, but we had to shake off some of that and get back to keeping it simple.
Yeah, you know, that's beautiful. I honestly, and that's what it was intrigued me, and that's what, you know, gave me the impetus to ask you to give me, you know, holler at me, you know. And let me tell you that right now, you're welcome anytime, because I know that you have a tremendous perspective on any number of issues. And organizing, I think, fundamentally is one that you seem to really have invested in. And I am just totally, I have a tremendous amount of adoration for you for having invested in it to the extent that you have the organizational aspects, because so many of us, like you say, we number one, we have a knowledge that things aren't right, and you know, we sit there in a quandary and like, you know, well, dang, things are not right. I know this isn't
right. That's right.
And you know, then we have the emotion of, dang it, I wish things would change. Well, you know what? It's the way we operate is ballots over bullets and bombs.
Yeah.
And you know what I'm saying. And the way the opposition operates, it seems to me, is, you know, they want to do something to deter, something to intimidate, you know. And I think, you know, what we do is we find similarities, and to me, we begin to make that basket weave and to formulate that quilt with the different designs and colors, and it's a unique organizational to me, and it's not really a strategy. There is no gimmick to it. It's just very simplistic that things need to be changed. And for my opinion, you know, I don't want to negotiate with Republicans. I want to vote them out. You know, I'm looking at Mitch McConnell today and how obstinate he and what's that guy, Cantor and Boehner. You know, you can't negotiate. You have to vote these guys out. And if those guys to me were for health care,
yeah,
or they were for providing extended employment for the unemployed,
yeah,
or and you know, let me ask you this. I'm sorry to don't just butt in on me, you know, because I'm going to tell you, dude. Just all you got to do is just butt in on me, and I'll be quiet.
Yeah, man.
but you know, my point is simply that, you know, the we as a group, you know, there are things that benefit everybody, not just individually. And my point is, if the Republicans are, yeah, the Republicans, let me just say that very clearly. And I am 100% Democrat. I'm not progressive. I'm not liberal. I am 100% Democrat, period. And I'm 100% Obama supporter, period. But, you know, if the Republicans don't think that single-payer universal health is any good, why don't those guys in Congress give up their health care? Just say, we're going to lead and show an example, and we're giving up our health care. We're going to do it the way we want y'all to do it.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
It ain't about them. They work for someone else.
Exactly.
They're just in there to fight for someone else's agenda.
Right.
The big banks, Wall Street, the insurance giants, that's who they work for, you know, and they get paid by them. You know, I just try to keep it simple. I know that they are motivated by money, and they're working for someone else. So, you know,
right,
they're not going to give up their health care.
But you know what I'm saying, though, that if they are so they want to be so, you know, such an obstructionist about, you know, providing health care for, I mean, these guys, like that guy, Issa, he's a multimillionaire.
Yeah.
And these, you know, these guys, a lot of them are millionaires. And they
That's
want to
right.
stand up in opposition to people, I mean, legitimately, who have, and, you know, I can't remember what state, I think it's Maine or it's a New England state that's going to outsource jobs after the company received benefits through the that program that just recently was implemented to assist companies. Once they got on their feet, they're going to outsource 800 jobs, I understand, to China.
Yeah.
I don't know if you heard about that.
No, I had
and
not.
And I don't remember who. I'd have to, you know, look it up on my search engine. But the whole idea to me is, Brother One in a Million, is that, you know, whenever you, if you take a community, for instance, and you outsource 800 jobs, the furniture company, the furniture stores in that town, yes, 347-945-7040. Brother Alpha, please give me a call. You or Sister Chatologist, you know, and along with, and I can keep Brother One in a Million on, but these guys want to outsource these jobs, and it's going to put, you know, put a tremendous burden as far as school. If you have a community hospital in that community, you know, healthcare is going to be gone from those guys that and ladies that have those jobs currently in that community. I mean, you know, and people, what they do, the way they used to attack us is call us bleeding heart liberals, because you had a feeling for people who were in a desperate situation.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Yeah.
And go ahead.
They kept us on the defense. See,
yeah,
got to play offense.
Exactly.
You know,
mm-hmm,
we got the right leader in place.
Exactly. Exactly.
President Obama is a brilliant man. He's
right.
Very, 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 very smart. And it's like he's playing chess and they're playing checkers.
Right.
I mean, this guy's got some moves, man, I've never seen before. He is absolutely brilliant. Right. After the midterms in the lame duck, I mean, that was absolutely brilliant to give them the tax breaks for the wealthy, mm-hmm. and then all of the benefits we got was unbelievable. Once I really looked at the details of what mm-hmm. we got, we made out great. And if you really think about it, didn't nothing really change except we gained something. what the Republicans wanted was already in place, so they didn't really mm-hmm. gain. Didn't nothing really change for them. But for us, we had tremendous gains. That was strategically brilliant. It was so brilliant that the Democratic Party missed it. I mean, most of the leaders in the party, we missed it. They were angry to understand the complexity of how this president thinks. I'm very confident with Brock at the leadership. I just worry about him.
Because you're not dealing with people who have an intellect who is in opposition to him. I mean, seriously, and I'm not trying to be be condescending, but honestly, these guys, it doesn't take a lot of intelligence to understand that people need assistance. And you know, oh, there's my brother Alpha. Let me hold on just a second. Don't you go anywhere there, brother one in a million. Okay.
Oh, I'm listening.
You just hang right in here, brother Alpha. Was that you?
How's it going, Black?
Hey, brother Alpha, I want you to meet brother one in a million, man.
One in
a
million, or
that's it. One in a million.
Okay, one in a million. Okay, I thought I heard it the other way around. Okay, how's it going this evening?
He's in 10 in Tennessee, and you up there around Illinois, right?
I'm here in Chicago, correct.
The Bears, right?
Yeah, well, come on, Green Bay. I don't care. They could be playing, you know, Martha's Little League, you know, Pee Wee League. Come on, Martha's Pee Wee League. You know, I'm a lifelong Chicagoan. I hate the Cubs. I hate the Bears. For a long time, it was ugly in this town with me with the Bulls, okay? And Michael Jordan left. Loved him as a player. Loved to watch him score 80, and they still lose. That was a great day.
I know that's right.
So back to this, you know, Brother Million, you spoke about the tax cut deal and how they got nothing. Let me say it like this. What they got was $347 billion added to the deficit. Now, they come for Social Security. They come for Medicare, Medicaid. They come for killing social programs, mental illness, because the debt is too high. The spending is too much. But yet they spent $347 billion. To give tax cuts to wealthy people.
Yep.
They got a great deal. Let me tell you why they got a great deal. The president said that he could let no harm come to the people. And remember that phrase, because he will use it again. I saw this deal as a cave. And let me tell you why. I'm going to preface all this by telling you, I am a staunch Barack Obama supporter. But when it comes, he may be playing chess mentally, but these boys are playing good old-fashioned, snot knocked out of your nose politics, and he's not ready for it. And I say he's not ready for it because let's see what he's done, not accomplished. His accomplishments are great. He's got a lot of things accomplished, but what he has failed to master is the fact that these people are ruthless, they hate him, and they will go to any measure to defeat him. Now, you just saw they repealed the health care. And did you notice that the campaign has started for the Senate to take it up? The feigned indignation has come to light where they don't understand how come The Senate won't vote on it. That's what the people want. That's what the people want. As they have filibustered and killed 240-something, 50-something-odd bills. So their indignation wasn't great until something that they want has been obstructed. Mitch McConnell came out and with a snark and a smirk on his face said, we're going to get a vote. Don't worry. And you know why he's going to get a vote? Because he will hold the debt ceiling hostage. They will not allow this debt ceiling to pass. And again, Obama will declare, I can't let the American people be hurt. Well, when he was caving on this tax deal and not allowing the American people to get hurt, he left out the 99ers. They're only getting, the unemployed extension is only going for 13 months. Then where will they be? Do you think that this Congress, this House, is going to re-up on that extension for those 13 months, for those 2 to 3 million? But then you have the 99ers that has a bigger pool of 5 million. There was nothing done for them. They are flapping in the wind. They're out there on their own. So if you were working to do no harm, you would have cut that deal to include the 99ers. Here's something else. Before he got into negotiations, he gave away freezing the federal employees' pay. Now, why would he give that away before the fight started, before the negotiations started? Mark my words. He will cave. He will cave on their insistence to cut Social Security and raise the age limit, to cut Medicare, to cut Medicaid, because they will hold the debt ceiling over his head, and he won't be able to stand strong and make this happen. He is not a fighter. And again, I'm going to tell you, I am a supporter of Barack Obama. But the missteps, he campaigned in a progressive liberal suit when in fact he is a centrist dino, a blue dog. Rahm Emanuel, the whole nine yards. He has ill-served this president to a great deal with a few others in his cabinet. You know, people criticize him for bringing in Larry Summers and Geithner and keeping Bernanke, because those are the people that oversaw the collapse and failure of our financial industry. When in fact, when he took office, the stock market was at 79.8 something. Now it's at 11.8. So those moves that he made, despite who he made them with, were successful. But now what he finds himself embroiled in is the collusion with the banks, Wall Street, corporations, and the Republican Party to strangle this nation in the middle class of jobs until the year 2012, and they can run against him on the unemployment rate. But what he doesn't get and what he doesn't see, and I'm sure he knows it, but he's afraid to do it. He possesses extraordinary powers as the president. All he had to do is allow the tax breaks, the Bush tax cuts, to expire. Now, he has the power as of the presidency to go to the IRS and tell the IRS to hold the current tax rates for people making under $250,000. Now, would he have gotten don't ask, don't tell? Will he have gotten all the other things that he got? No, because they told him. They came out and they threatened him publicly. Nothing's going to pass until we get our tax cut. And he caved for the better, for everybody. That's, you know, you can put that up for argument. Because if it was for everybody, he would have included the 99ers. There
right.
has to be a greater sense of messaging, a greater way to get his message out. He has not enough surrogates. He's willfully short in surrogates, because that's what the other side brings over and over and over again. Congressman Crowley said it best. The Republicans come out and they lie over and over and multiple lies. Everybody lies from that side and tells the same lie. It's like Goebbels and the Nazi propaganda.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you don't have to shy away from calling it out and telling the truth. That's what they use, and that's what the Democrats have been woefully mismanaged in, is messaging. And that's, you know, that's the problem he holds. Don't tell me about, you know, he is a brilliant man. I agree that he's a brilliant man. But what he lacks is the policy and the politicking that he needs to have. You know, before the November elections, he was out there on the stump sounding powerful, sounding good. He was all fired up and ready to fight all the way up until the elections came. And then he walked with his, came up with his hat in his hand, and they took us, we took a shellacking. Well, the only reason you took a shellacking was because of your previous 2 years when he caved on the public option, when he cut the deal for Farmer and the big health insurance. Now, let's face it, you know, he, this was a path to get something done, and he got some things done in this health bill. But who will say that public option would not have been better? It would have saved more money, even better. Buy into Medicaid or Medicare, rather, would have been much better. He is good at fracturing his base. Now, what he's going to do, and he's going to fracture his base even more, because these are other things he's going to cave into. He created this debt commission that brings in Simpson and this other clown who is a conservative, not a Democratic conservative, just a conservative, Bowles.
They're
telling you, you got to retire when you're 70 or 69, and we're going to cut Social Security, and we're going to cut Medicare. Social Security adds not one dime to the debt, so why are they going to cut it? And the biggest lie that you could ever face is this holiday on your taxes, cutting it from 6.2 to 4.2, something like that. That 2% will never be restored. That is the camel with his nose under the tent for defunding Social Security. And you, and they say the general fund is going to make up the difference all the way up until the House and the Senate, that they will win in 2012.
Who
Democrats
will?
Can defend 23 seats. Republicans have to defend 10.
Wait, Brother Alpha. Who are you saying will win in 2012?
The Senate will be won by the Republicans.
No, Brother Alpha, hold up. Listen, let me. I'm agreeing with you on factually, with all the information that you provided factually, but this is what I'm going to tell you, is this is not about Obama. This is about you, me, and who's listening to us right now. If we are not going to cinch it up, if we're not going to look in the mirror and see that we are the government, I'm not going to blame Obama that I'm uninformed. I'm not going to blame Obama that I'm not listening to what you just said and relating it to myself. I'm not going to blame. See, we are so accustomed to being hand-fed, hand-to-mouth by the corporate media and the Republican sycophants. If I listen to all of the same things that everybody else listens to, and I voted my right way. I didn't get mad because Obama didn't stand up for LGBT and could stay at home. I didn't get mad because Obama didn't vote for universal single-payer health and stay at home. I went and voted. You see, that's where the Republicans have us beat, is that we back down. Not we, whoever it is out there that's backing down. I don't mind criticizing Obama. I'm not going to do it, but I don't mind other people doing it. But if I'm going to criticize Obama, what I'm going to do first is I'm going to put it right here on Black Ice and Friends, what's going on out there. You make the decisions out there that are listening to this, and you make the decisions as to whether you want to stay at home or whether you want to get politically active. Now, see, what happens is what you have right here is you on the one end who provide the information, then you have Brother Million, one in a million, who provides the organization. You understand what I'm saying? This is a unique combination. You provide the information. The people need to hear it. You see, but one in a million just said was that people, they will not get off the couch unless they get emotionally involved. Obama can't vote but once. He can't vote for me. He can't put food in my mouth, move my chin, and make me eat it, and, you know, send me to the restroom and that kind of thing. He is not my handmaiden. He is not my... I am not going to blame Obama because I'm not informed. That's why I do what I do, is I want to put that information out there and try to do it as emphatically and as honestly and as emotionally as I possibly can, and hopefully the information will get passed around, and people will get stimulated to the point and get more well informed to the point that they can make a better decision. Without information, you can't make an intelligent decision. And you just gave a tremendous amount of information. That is phenomenal. And brother, let me tell you, I'm going to tell you right now that I so much appreciate what you do. This is what I'm telling you. You got two brothers right here. Two brothers right here. One with the information, one working the organization. What can you ask for any more than that? With you two guys doing forces, what are we up against? The heck with the Republicans negotiating with them. Vote them out. Vote them out every time they come up with the NRA and talk about the bombs that are being set at parade routes. Vote them out every time they bring up about because this is what Obama was talking about: guns, gays, and the Bible. They mentioned it today on the news. Well, what he's trying to do is to get the white vote. This ain't about white and black, but this is what Santorma used. Oh, this is white and black. No, your health care, I don't give a doggone what color you are. If you don't have health care, you don't get a facilitator when you go to a hospital or when you have an illness or when your child has a problem. You know, I don't care what color you are. If you don't have the option where that your child can stay with your insurance because they can't find employment because the jobs are getting outsourced until he's 26 years old and she's 26 years old, I mean, it doesn't matter. But these guys have a very unique way to involve color and then, use the semantics of, well, race and color. Race is human. Race is freaking human. Color is the difference that these people have a problem with, and the Republicans have a problem with it more so than any other, to me, political party that I've ever seen, as do I'm going to call them teabaggers, period. So what I'm saying is, brother, you, Brother Alpha, trust me, I so much appreciate you and how vehemently how enthusiastically that you present your position on the issue, and Brother One in a Million. I appreciate the organizational opportunities and possibilities that you bring to the table, because when you unite these forces, see, people don't, those colored guys. Hey, this, it ain't no color to when you're hostile, when your jobs are getting outsourced. You are just out there just like everybody else. But these guys got a lot of these people hoodwinked into believing, hoodwinked, bamboozled, and run amok into believing that, I'm white, and therefore, no, it ain't no therefore. Therefore, just what you said, Alpha, that's happening to people is happening to them. And they don't understand it. So, brother, let me tell you what. I disagree with you as far as Obama's supposed to, and I understand emphatically he didn't present the case, but he gave me the information, and he gave enough to Brother One in a Million that we're going to set forth and start providing that information. This is what we do. You do on your show, with what we do on this show, with the Alpha show, and you better give me that time, brother. Don't you get away. And I want you to address, please, if you don't mind, let me throw this at you, the Scott sisters and that situation that occurred. That was beautiful. What night was that? Was that Saturday?
Yeah, Saturday night.
But, brother, let me tell you, you know how I am. I'm gonna tell you, I will see that this is the way I do things. And I don't mean to be offensive at all, but when you take synergistically and you put together the information that you have, I don't care. White people need to get off of this high horse thinking that I'm just white. This ain't about your color, baby. This is about your situation. And your situation is a citizen of the United States of America, and you are the government. When you look in the mirror, you have the ability to control the insurance companies. When you look in the mirror, you have the ability to control outsourcing. When you look in the mirror, you have the ability to control extended unemployment to the 99ers and everybody else. You can do it. But when, what a brother One in a Million said, hey, if you don't have the emotion and you got this thing all crucked up in your head, the colored people, they want civil rights. Hell, everybody wants civil rights. That civil rights is not just for black people. We just didn't have ours extended to us instantaneously. We've had to accept it incrementally, little bit by little bit. We don't want to give you too much. Hell, you got yours all at once. Everybody else wants theirs. You know what I'm saying? All at once. Whether you know, y'all have come pretty far. Don't tell me how far I've come. Understand, you just how far you've come, that's how far I should be too. Don't be, you know. But anyway, dude, let me say, I didn't mean to butt in, but I just had those opinions, man, and I had to share those with y'all. But Brother Alpho and Brother wanted to meet. I'm going to let y'all take it on and do what you got to do with it, because it's 8:08 and you got 22 minutes to do whatever you want to do. But I do want you, if you don't mind, Alpho, to speak about the Scott sisters. Would that be a problem, or is that okay?
No, Scott sister Gladys and Jamie Scott, you know, it's not a problem.
Yes, I can remember. Thank you.
As you were there,
all that.
You were there in the chat room with us Saturday as we interviewed sisters. And you heard actually Gladys, because Jamie wasn't feeling well. It was a dialysis day for her.
Right, right.
And, you that heard her speak about what her future would hold, and what her the things that she wants to do, and the just her freedom itself. I think she's caught up. They're both caught up in this whirlwind of freedom now, and the nuance of what has changed for 16 years. And you know, they could not. She could not speak about the case herself.
Right.
But
exactly.
You know, people speak about pardons. People speak about commuted sentences.
Right.
And a pardon simply means that they're going to forgive you if you admit to your wrongdoing. A commutation simply means the state basically admits that, you know, there was something wrong and they're going to set this judgment aside. So this indefinite suspended sentence is something so insidiously nefarious that if you look at it, they're on probation for the rest of their lives.
Right.
They aren't able to. They were both healthy going into this prison.
Right.
Because of the conditions there in that prison.
How many years, brother?
Say what?
How many years?
They were in prison for 16 years.
Mm.
You know, and I got to tell you, the vitriol that I saw in the chat room where people were posting, because we had 30-something people in the chat room.
Right. Well,
everybody was all over Tom Joyner, Travis Smiley, Michael Baisden, and, you know, the whole crowd.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because they wanted to compare the Gina 6 response to this miscarriage of justice. If you go around this country, there are similar stories
of
Scott sisters, but yet, they have flown under the radar. And this is what you have. You know, these people of knowledge, these people of wealth can only do so much.
Right.
And they can only do so much without jeopardizing themselves. And that's what you find in most of your huge, you know, your big athletes. And, you know, politics of itself is, you know, another entity that you may not want to, you know, cross over into, because it can hurt a lot of things, you know, your marketability and the whole nine yards. With the Scott sisters, you have two young women, never before had a run-in with the law, never before are they offenders, nothing. Their record was clean. And yet this double life sentence, not a life for each of them, two life sentences.
How many was it, brother?
A double life sentence.
It does something.
Now, for an $11 robbery that they say they had nothing to do with, the men who committed the act cut a deal. They did 10 months. And they lied on the sisters and said, you know, and said what they said. They've recanted that. But yet that, you know, that the affidavit was ignored by the court and the appellate court.
Mm-hmm.
And there's so much to this story. And the indefinite suspension of the Scott sister's sentence basically shields them from telling the story, telling the real story. But this governor, Haley Barbour, his one and only one, the only reason he released them on an indefinite suspension was because the dialysis was going to cost the state too much money. Now think about that as you know, how to treat you know, people and how to treat humans.
Right.
You know, we were very happy that they were released. And Janice Graham, you know, of Our Common Ground,
right.
She is
oh,
a member of the Gray-Haired Witnesses very active for years trying to win their release.
Mm-hmm.
And so was Nancy Lockhart, their mother, and I continue to forget her name, Rascal. Rascal is her name.
Their mother, that lady.
For 16 years fighting to get her daughter's release. So when you add it all up, you know, let me tell you like this. It is and it will always be about color in this nation.
Oh,
your
yeah.
skin color matters because there's no way in hell this could have happened to two white girls.
Mm-hmm.
When you begin to talk about it and separate, you know, I've never been a as they call it, a black nationalist, a black
right.
that, you know,
right.
not at all. But justice is justice, and injustice
right.
is injustice. You know, and, you know,
right.
we go through this life, you know, I speak about these things because, you know, just some quick numbers that I got. There was a, you know how devastated Detroit is. But in one of the last
right.
elections, only 12% of the blacks came out to vote. And then down
right.
there in Tennessee, I think one in a million, you're in Tennessee?
Yeah.
Yeah. How low is the black turnout to vote? And not just in the major presidential run. I mean, in this, you know, in these other smaller elections. You know, when we
yeah.
start talking about getting, you know, I try to put out as much information, correct, fact-checked information as I possibly can. And
I appreciate it, trust me.
Motivate people who are locked into this death struggle to survive on a day-to-day basis, even the people with jobs, get up, go to work, and come home and get ready for the next day. That's
right.
what it's turned into. And when it comes to – and believe me, for the last – I would call it last 40 years, I was kind of part of that. But, you know, I would make sure I got to the polls to vote. But how many
what
of
happened?
Us don't?
What happened to you? What you know, this is where it is, man. You know, the Brother Alpho, you got Brother One in a Million, you and me, Sister Chatologist. She's in a different situation, though. How did you get so... involved, get so heated up that you said, heck with it, I'm getting ready to get into this? How did you do that? What happened? What was the process? What did it take to get you there?
Well, I have always been that computer caveman. I was, you know, my son and, you know, everybody knew what the computer was, and they finally talked me into buying one. And I'm done with this.
Me
now,
too.
This is serious.
Sound
this
like
is
me.
True. I opened the computer up and I looked up at my son and I said, "Now what?" And he reached over and hit the button and turned it on. And I took it from there.
Brother Alpha must be mad.
I've been doing this for a little over 3 years now. And it's you know, just the fact that this black man, inspiring, smart, sophisticated, someone
right.
that has filled all of the criteria and the prerequisites.
Exactly.
Had stepped into the political light, and I said, "This brother is somebody." I said he would win in Iowa simply for one reason, because he had boots on the ground, and it was a caucus. And I had put that together, and all the money he was collecting individually that he was able to put together and bring his case on. And I predicted he would win in Iowa. And I said, if he wins in Iowa, he will move forward.
Mm-hmm.
And this anointing of Hillary Clinton is going to be real problematic. Then Bill Clinton opened his mouth in South Carolina. There's another win. So, you know, for me, it's been a journey. It's been
right.
And in this journey, I was able to pull the covers back to see what these rich, right-wing ideologues had on the table for America.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so foul, it's unbelievable, but people simply won't wake up. People simply won't wake up, and for that, we are in peril.
No. Yeah. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Our jobs will be forever outsourced.
No. They will be based on the current situation. But, situations change, in my opinion. And what I'm saying is that when you said that, see, to me, it wasn't, those of us who are of African descent, know what it's like to have had, or at least we feel it in a different way, what it was like to have had your relatives and friends lynched while the general public was complicit, while they watched and were too mum to say a word. They were paralyzed with fear. They've never been through it. We've never done anything but stand up with a tremendous amount of opposition against us. I mean, when I see over and over and over dogs being sicked on you, water hoses, beatings, bombings, murders, and I was, a lot of people get intimidated, and I can understand it. They get ostracized because how are you going to go to church if you're standing up for right? How are you going to go to church and be around people who come in there and hum and sing every Sunday and know that there are injustices going on, know that there are things happening that they should not be involved in and they should be speaking out about? Or how are you going to go to your social functions? How are you going to go to the golf course? How are you going to hang around with your friends? Because they're going to ostracize you. We have always been ostracized, so we don't have to feel any different. I think our social organization, our unity, is involved with the fact that we've never been associated in what you might call the mainstream. So we formulated our own stream, and it is main. It's our main because the truth is real. The truth is that all men are created equal with certain inalienable rights, period. There are a lot of people that say, you shouldn't have the right, and therefore I'm going to shoot you. I'm going to hang you. I'm going to bomb you. I'm going to jail you. I'm going to catch you off out here in 3 or 4 or 5 or 15 or 20 of us. You see, these are not, to me, individuals who are really fundamentally sound mentally. These are some sick and pathetic individuals who try to put on a suit. Like Miss Palin said, you can put a lipstick on a pig, but that pig's still going to be a pig with lipstick on it. You can't front to me. You know what I'm saying? I don't know if that was her or not. I may be, plagiarizing or somebody, whatever. But, you cannot front to me how slick you are and how cool you are, and you got to do these devious things to people. You got to hide behind a guy shooting and bombing people.
Oh, Black.
The ISA is going to do this investigation of Obama, but he didn't do the investigation of Bush.
Well, he's not going to. You speak of our early times and the steep hill we've had to climb against the odds.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that was an era. And that was an era where we as Black people were conscious. We were aggressively pushing back.
Mm-hmm.
But now,
mm-hmm.
fast forward to today.
Right.
The Klan is cloaked in judges' robes, police uniforms, and politician suits, and in corporate, behind corporate symbols and emblems. There needs to be a higher sophistication of addressing this fight. And right now, we are so far behind and addressing that fight that it's vacant. It's a vacuum of people, enough people who understand what's going on and who are willing to step up and confront what's going on.
You said
and
it.
And therein lies our problem.
You said it. Hey, you know what, brother? Let me, Alpha, we do this, man. Brother Million, you better jump in here, man. This is Barbershop, man. This is Barbershop on Saturday morning. You better get up in here.
I'm just getting educated here.
Well, I tell you, Alpha will educate you. Trust me. I mean, the brother doesn't know it. All over the miles, I love you, man. I do. I appreciate you, respect you, and I'm so grateful, man. I'm humbled to be in your presence, honestly, both of you guys, as well as the sister chatologist and all the other listeners out there, whoever. I am just thoroughly so appreciative for you guys, and I hope that this will be a regular deal, a regular thing, because Alpha, you and Alpha, you got to talk about your show, man, so that people can get. You changed the form, not the format, the scheduling. So well, what's up with your show, man?
The scheduling, no, I'm still on at the same times. It's just that, you know, as you know, Blog Talk is moving to put the free broadcast in to a limit.
Right.
They make that business decision for premium.
Right.
That's the move. So after February 1st, you'll only be able to get 30 minutes a day, and you'll only be able to upload three pieces on your file unless you go premium. So right now I do my hour on the Alpha Show on Saturday at 2 o'clock Central Standard Time. And Blog Talk Radio, the Alpha Show. And an hour from 3 Central to 4, I go to TruthWorks.
Right.
And TruthWorks Network is a network that has been created by Janice Graham. Now, this is an extraordinary woman who has
been on the
broadcast circuit, her own show in Boston, and throughout.
Okay.
Here's a woman who I've never met.
Right, exactly. We've never met.
I've never met this woman. Mm-hmm. I talk to her 3-4 times a week. We coordinate. we do a lot of talking on the phone.
Absolutely. Wonderful. I'm glad you do.
What she has created in TruthWorks is a network where now we're going to have, we already have a total of 4 people doing shows on this network. I will expand, after February 1st, I will expand from 2 to 4 at TruthWorks Network.
Mm-hmm.
But the name of the show is The Alpha Show. And
Alpha?
Very few times will I have a guest because
the
basic thing that I do is simply disseminate information to you.
Right.
And with some
opinion,
with some sarcasm, and with, maybe a hint here or there of how to approach it.
Right.
And, we need a plan.
Absolutely.
We have been, something I've heard today, and it was about, what happened with Jimmy Carter and Ronald Reagan, and how the hostages in Iran were released
Get out of here, man.
Of January because the Reagan administration had cut a deal with them.
Yeah.
And look
those
at where
fire weapons.
Those are the scenarios and the situations that lead us to where we are now in this country. We got Ronald Reagan, and then we've got 20 out of 28 years of Republican rule that has destroyed this nation and has increased this debt. And notice how the debt wasn't a problem until a Democrat came into office. That's Grover Norquist, Star of the Beast.
If you need to check out his work,
but that's what they do.
Once they put
it up so high, then when they lose power, that's their campaign. Obama's faced this campaign for 2 years, and he's got 2 more years to face. But I would, hearken on everyone to pay attention to what's going to happen. I've told you how they're going to attack him because, I mean, if I can see it, I know he can see it. He's way smarter than me.
Of course he can.
You've got a few minutes left, and I'm going to bow out, and I want to thank you for listening to me. And Brother One in a Million, it's good to hear
sir.
You. You know a brother there, Mrs. Harry Steele?
Harry Steele?
Harry.
Perry.
P-E-R-R-Y.
Harry Steele.
No, I can't say that I do.
Well, hunt him down for me. Step on him.
Is he a part of Organizing for America?
He just ran in the last congressional race, and I guess he's still waiting on his recount because he got smoked.
But I just want to say one thing about our president now. In my opinion, he'll go down as the greatest president ever.
Absolutely.
And so far as his questioning his guts, I think he's the bravest man, one of the bravest men on the planet. I mean, you couldn't do what he's done and not be fearful. You can't go into that. So you can't go into that surrounding where he resides and where his family is and be afraid. This man has no fear, and I think that we as African Americans don't give him credit and don't really consider what he's facing. He's up there alone. We are not up there with him to protect him. He's surrounded by another race. His family is surrounded by them. For him to do this for us, I think it's almost insulting for us to even question his bravery, because we know we're not just totally comfortable, and we're around a lot of blacks, and he's around none.
I'm gonna have to jump in there right quick. I'm gonna have to stop that thought. But hey, you know you got to come back, right? One of me.
Oh yeah, I'll be back.
I got 60 minutes. And let me say, I'm going to say Alfo, A-L-F-O. That's how you spell Alfo. And put it in your blog talk search block and catch his show on Alfo what day? Saturday at 2?
On Saturday, 2 o'clock Central
PM.
Oh.
Right, on Blog Talk Radio. And I'm honored and very pleased to have had One in a Million. And you know you got to come back, okay?
Oh, yeah, for sure, next Thursday.
Yeah, all right, thank you. And the chatologist was in the chat room. And Sister Rabia Ahmed hit me up with a PM a minute ago, SMART2CHANGE. And let me tell you, thank you so much for joining us right here on the next phase with Ice and Friends. And we'll be here at 7 to 8:30. And Alfo, you know good and well, you're welcome here every week, as many times as you choose to call. Hopefully next week we'll have a lady on with some ideas about your health and your aesthetics. But anyway, I'm going to have to get out of here, you guys. Thank you so much. God bless you. Have a good one, and we'll talk with you next week, okay?
Y'all take care.
All righty.
All right. Thank you. I love you. Appreciate you, man.
Bye-bye.
God bless.
Bye.
Take care. Night-night. That was Ice and Friends right here on Block Talk Radio, 347-945-7040. If you ever get a chance to give us a call, we'd appreciate it. And you can give us hit us up on the email at blakicz.1@gmail.com. And I think I'm probably off the air by now, so I'm going to go ahead and sign off with this. God bless you and keep you and yours throughout and far beyond 2011. And let's look forward to getting together and doing some positive things in the years to come. Thank you so much for joining us right here on The Next Phase with Ice and Friends.
Once in my life, it's gonna feel real good. Gonna make a difference. Gonna make it right. As I turn up the collarbone, my favorite winter coat, this wind is blowing my mind. I see the kids in the street, but not enough to eat. Who am I? Blind, pretending not to see them need. I saw us disregard.